friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the April 15th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. The field is set for the semifinals of the UEFA Champions League football tournament. Manchester City will meet Paris Saint-Germain in a first-leg semifinal on April 28th, while Chelsea will challenge 13-time champion Real Madrid in the other first-leg semifinal on April 27th. English Premier League leader Man City advanced Wednesday with a 2-1 victory over host Borussia Dortmund of Germany. Man City won the series on aggregate 4-2. Man City's Spanish manager Pep Guardiola reached his 8th Champions League semifinal as a coach and his first with the English club.
For the club, it's so important. We cannot deny it. So this competition is tough in terms of mental. The fact that you are working 10 months, you are judged for one game, for different goal you are out, or for one hand is allowed, you are out. And you are judged the season as a failure, as a disaster club. The team has no personality for one single game. In that case, two single games. It's not fair. So we cannot judge what these guys has done in 4 or 5 years, and you can go through for one of the competition. Saying that, psychologically, for all of us, for the players, for myself, of course, for all backroom staff, for our chairman, for CEO, past this moment, the quarterfinals to get the semifinals was necessary. Now, of course, we want more. We're going to prepare the game against PSG, the last finalist for the Champions League last season at Bayern Munich. So we know how tough they were. So they knockout to Bayern Munich, I think the best team in the world right now. And yeah, we'll see what happens, how we arrive. But for the club, especially for the players, a good moment for all of us.
In terms of good moments, well, you could say the Spanish powerhouse, Real Madrid, has had more than a few good moments over the years. Real Madrid is back in the Champions League semifinals after a 2-season absence. Real held host Liverpool to a scoreless draw Wednesday, and Real won the series on aggregate 3-1. Now let's go to Kampala, where Uganda's veteran goalkeeper Dennis Onyango is earning praise and applause after announcing his retirement from international football. The 35-year-old Onyango played for Uganda's national team for more than 15 years, and Dennis was the longtime captain of the squad, nicknamed the Cranes. Magume Davis Rakawinge filed this feature from Kampala, Uganda.
In his letter, the local governing body, the Federation of Uganda Football Associations, FUFA, this week, Ugandan goalkeeper Dennis Masinde Onyango announced he was retiring from the national team, the Uganda Cranes. I sit here with tears rolling down my eyes, because after a lengthy consideration, I've come to the decision of retiring from international football with immediate effect. Onyango's letter partly read. He added, "It is a sad day in my life, knowing that I will never wear the jersey of my beloved Cranes in front of passionate fans again. I will now become the number one supporter who wears the jersey, watching from the stands or from home." Before praising his former national team coaches, notably the current Zambia's Chiporoporo head coach, Milutin Sradovic, also known as Micho, for trusting him with the responsibility to captain the Uganda Cranes. "It was because of my national team that I got to play against all the best players from across the continent who play in top leagues all over the world. I played at the AFCON finals because of the Cranes. The joy of playing at the AFCON finals after so many years was sweet," Onyango said in a letter. Dennis Onyango helped the Uganda Cranes qualify for the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations after nearly 40 years of absence, having conceded just 2 goals in the qualifying phase. Just like Onyango, another player to retire from the national team this month is former deputy defender Hassan Waswa.
"It was a high time for us to retire from the national team, because we have given 100% for the national team. And I think of all the players that that were on the current national team. I think me and Dennis were the longest serving players. So for us, we had to talk about it and, you know, get to understand that whatever we get for the country, whatever we get for the nation, whatever we did for the for Ugandans at large, we give them our all. And, you know, we're not regretting, we're not doing anything. We don't live in the national team as sad people or sad players, no. But we're living the national team with pride, you know.
Wasa confesses it was very easy playing alongside Onyango, one of Africa's best.
If I had Dennis in goal, I had no problem worrying about someone, even though the striker beats us. We couldn't have any problem, you know, getting scared when Dennis was in goal. So I think it was something that gave us confidence. Me as a defender, it really gave me the confidence to give my best, because I knew I had the best goalkeeper in Africa. And this is something that, you know, drove us to limits. And this is something that made us be the best team in Africa before going to Gabon.
Indeed, Onyango was nicknamed by Uganda Cranes fans as Mr. Safe Hands. A name sports analyst Dalen Cheyune says befits him.
Onyango stands out to be arguably the best player of his generation. At some stage, the pundits have been critiquing the Cranes for having its best player in goal, not up front, like other national teams you'd compare. For instance, Egypt has its best player in Mohamed Salah, who plays up front. Ghana has had its best player in Asamoah Gyan, play up front. The same thing for Tanzania, who have their best player in Bwana Samata, who plays up front. The same story for Kenya in Michael Olunga, who plays up front. But for Uganda Cranes, the best player has been in goal. Certainly, there's as well been an impact on the results.
Despite not qualifying for their third consecutive AFCON finals, Onyango had 4 clean sheets in the qualifiers. Ahmed Hussein, the spokesperson for FUFA, also praised Onyango.
What Onyango has achieved as a player, no Ugandan player has achieved. None. The Champions League winner, best Africa best player, voted by CAF. On the fifth Pro 11 of Africa, the titles he has won in South Africa, and my generation, for as long as I've lived on earth, the best goalkeeper I have seen. The desire to win, the desire to come and play for his national team, the Uganda Cranes, the desire to organize his backline, and the desire never to concede. Those are things that have been driving Dennis Onyango.
Sports analyst Leon Senyange agrees.
He's the kind of player that would have a say on a team and things actually done, have a command on a team and play changes. For many local fans here, a match without Dennis Onyango was a bit of a worry. And it's very evident in the fact that when he's between the posts, you definitely see that kind of 1-2-3 saves that save the day and probably get Uganda the 3 points in a qualifier or maybe the win in a particular tournament. So, yes, his qualities were very exceptional. Probably they'll probably be unmatched by those that have been his understudies.
Dennis Onyango remains one of the most decorated players at South African Giants Mamelodi Sundowns. Local Federation FUFA say they will honor Dennis Onyango with the testimonial match at some time in the future. And here's what some fans say about their retiring captain.
My name is Julius Buchana. Onyango's golden hands have been a savior to our nation's national team. His resignation has come in as a surprise, and it's been a blow to our soccer. And I know that the Federation is going to think twice, plus the nation's administrators of the Ministry of Education and Sports, to come in handy to save the national team. So I think Onyango should think twice, have the patriotism of the club and of the nation as well to come back and save our nation. There is a save he made, I think it was in AFCON qualifiers, that nobody thought he would do. But he turned behind and flipped off the ball from the line of the goal. And it was a savior to us because it was the only goal that we're going to make us get out of the AFCON. But he's a strong man. He loves his nation. He's patriotic. And without Onyango, we are gone.
Eddie Khan is my name. Really, to do with retirement, I can't say that it's wrong or the right time, but to Onyango, him as a stakeholder in football, more so of the national team, I believe he did what he was supposed to do. He has been excellent. Yeah, ever since he joined the national team, Onyango has performed very well, has been the best player on the pitch. Before even he was the captain, Onyango was doing very well.
Onyango's retirement was a shock because we know that age in football is important, because when it comes to 30s, 35 there, you have to retire. But Onyango's issue, we've seen, because he's among the best 15 top ranking goalkeepers in the world, he did a very good job. That's what I remember. They were from Villa to St. George in Ethiopia to South Africa. He has made a name.
Onyango, we still need him even for the next 3 years. We've seen so many world goalkeepers, the likes of Gigi Buffon, the Italian. He has been there. He's one of the longest serving goalkeepers in the world. He's now 40 years old. He's still playing for the national team and the club level. His experience and everything, we cannot underrate him, and we still need Dennis Onyango on the national team.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Mugume. And I'd certainly be remiss if I didn't give Dennis Onyango an official Sunny Side of Sports salute. In Olympic news, Ghana officially marked the 100 days countdown to the Tokyo Games on Wednesday. Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori reports from Accra, Ghana.
Last Wednesday marked 100 days to the Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games. And across the world, the values and the significance of Olympic and Paralympic were demonstrated. Ghana was not left out the occasion, and in Accra, the president of the Ghana Olympic Committee, Ben Nunu Mensah, launched the program.
Today marks 100 days before the commencement of the Games, and I want to take the opportunity to congratulate all our wonderful athletes who have put in so much to have qualified for this tournament yet. We haven't gotten the full complement of all the athletes that we are expecting to qualify. I'm very sure that by the middle of May, we would have gotten all the complement of our full athletes. We'll then move to our training camp in Iwashiro and make sure that we are preparing well for the Games. Unfortunately, 2020 is not a year that anybody would want to associate with Olympics or a mass gathering. The COVID hasn't been too kind to us, and it's made the Olympics taking a different turn. It's not going to be the usual Olympics that you and I know. Unfortunately, we're going to have an Olympics without spectators, but I believe and strongly hope that even though most of us will not be in Tokyo with the athletes, we'll be there with them in spirit. Our prayers will be with them, and I'm sure that when they go out there, they'll give out their best and come out with flying colors for Mother Ghana.
The Tokyo 2020 Olympic was originally scheduled to take place last year, but have been postponed to this summer, 23rd July to 8th August, because of the COVID-19 pandemic. The forthcoming Tokyo Games will be Ghana's 15th appearance at Summer Olympics. Meanwhile, the three qualified Ghanaian track and field athletes, Joseph Amoah, 200 meters, Benjamin Asamati, 100 meters, and triple jumper Nadia Eke, are in training camps in the United States, while three qualified boxers, Shaku Samir, light heavyweight, Samuel Techi, featherweight, and Suleiman Tete, flyweight, have intensified their training in Ghana. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori in Accra.
Thanks, Kwabena. Stephen Appiah participated in the 2004 Athens Olympics for Ghana, scoring two goals and leading the team's attack in the men's football tournament. Now, Stephen already was well into his Ghana national team duty at that point, duty that would earn him the captain's armband. Now retired, the 40-year-old Appiah talked about his career with Yawafusu Larbi in Accra. Here's Yao.
Stephen, you're welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. First of all, tell us, how did you become captain of the Black Stars?
We played a game in Ljubljana against Slovenia. That was 2002. So when we got there, those days, it's not like today that you see the team in uniform, wearing polo, trainers, dressed nicely. Those days, it was different. You see players wearing, like the way we are sitting here, we are in Kampa, we are wearing our own attire. We were eating, and then, playing for Parma, from Accra, as opposed to Italy, things have changed. I've experienced a lot. You go to camp, you are in a uniform. It's nice. So sitting there watching the players, and I said, no, I think it's not right that we should be like, this is the national team. So I called Adidas. That time I was Nike player, but I called Adidas and I said, oh, okay, I wanted to order some stuff for our national team. So I went to the city center, Adidas, and then I bought a uniform for all the players. So we were in uniform and everybody was happy, laughing, talking. And so the day of the game, Olili was my roommate then. The day of the game, the coach made his selection and then he said, today our captain is Steven Appiah. So when the coach said that, I raised my hand and I was like, I think we have senior players here who the ban should go to them. I think it's normal. You have to give that respect to them. So as soon as I said that, Olele tapped my shoulder and he said, Steve, don't worry, you take the ban, we'll support you. So that's how I became the captain for the Black Stars.
How was it like dealing with players from that time? Some of them successful, many of them probably richer than you were at the time.
It was difficult, like handling players like yourself who has won so much. And I always say that it's one of the African players. If they said I should choose five, it would be number five or so in the history of African players. I'm saying that because you have a player like George Weah. Let me start with George Weah, who won the world best. You have players like Abedi Pele, who won three times African best. And then you come to Samuel Eto'o, and I think Osefo will be, when you look at his career, he has won everything. So now he's in the category with Brazilian Ronaldo and the rest, left with African Cup and World Cup. So I mean, being the captain as a young player, it was difficult, but when they appointed me as the captain, I was so happy. And what happened was, immediately I called a few friends. We went to a place called Epo in Osu. You know, we went to Chile. So I came back home, sitting here alone, and reality set in. I started thinking, I mean, being the captain for Ghana is a big responsibility. So I asked myself a question, Stevie, can you handle it? I was sitting there and then there was a voice saying that the only thing you can do, don't do the mistake that the previous, players did. Just bring unity. So that's what I did. And in our camp, as I said, at times people, you see, captain band is just a band. Okay. Even during warming up, you can get injured and then someone will be. So you don't have to take it personal. And in camp, everybody felt that he's part of the team. So I think that's the most important thing that I did.
You had some challenging times, one of which was the game against Zimbabwe in 2004, where you had a swollen foot but played through it. And then the performance that day was not the best and you faced a lot of backlash. How did you feel about that?
Nothing, because I think in life you can't get it all the time. And in our work, at times, yeah, there are one or two games that won't go well. And I think that's one of the games. And, you know, when it comes to our job, you have to allow yourself for people to criticize you. It's part of the job. The more they criticize you, the more they empower you to do well. That's what happened. From then, I can't even pinpoint one game that I played that it didn't go well.
That's former Ghana national football team captain Steven Appiah. And Steven was talking with Yao Afusu-Larbi in Accra, Ghana. And we'll hear more of Steven's conversation with Yao in the days to come.
Sporty greetings. This is Ike Diagu, captain of the Nigerian men's national basketball team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Ike. Ike Diagu's teammate on Nigeria's Olympic-bound basketball team is Jordan Nora, a forward for the Milwaukee Bucks, who has been sponsoring a series of elite youth basketball camps in West Africa. One of the camps ended recently in Gombe, northeast Nigeria. Iron Mike Mbonye asked one of the coaches in Gombe, Nicholas Seppi, What's your assessment of the camp?
My assessment for the Jor Nor Elite Camp is that it's something that's very important for basketball over here, because it's not only teaching fundamentals and skill work, but there's a level of fun to teach the love of the game. And I think that's the most important thing you need to be successful in basketball, is to love the game. Because if you do not love the game, you won't go very far in it.
Have you seen potential talent or stars in the making since the commencement of the Jordan Wara Elite Camp?
Out of all the players we've seen, there was a young man in Abidjan. His name is Zamba Kamara. And to me, he could be special because he's already 7 foot at 17 years old. But to be 7 foot, athletic, coordinated, fast, that's something that you don't see anywhere in the world. And if he stays with it, he can have a very, very bright future. So for the camp as a whole, there's been a lot of potential stars in the making since the commencement of the camp. No matter where we go, you see talented men and women who are capable of playing anywhere in the world, whether it be at the high school level and potentially the college level or further.
The inaugural season of Basketball Africa League will tip off on May 16 in Rwanda. What's your reaction?
I think the Basketball African League in Rwanda is great. I think the more leagues we have, especially over here, to cultivate the talent and, you know, help the talent grow over here, is only going to be very good for the country as a whole, but the people of the country, because now you're starting to get those same opportunities and better opportunities that will help just give everybody a chance for success.
Do you think the Basketball Africa League will produce enough talent for teams in the NBA?
I think the BAL has a very good chance to produce talent for the NBA. The problem is going to be finding the talent, because there's so much talent that nobody has ever seen in Africa, and it could be somewhere where they don't have the platform to be seen, or the resources to find that platform. But I think 100% that, you know, there's NBA talent over in Africa.
What's your suggestions or advice to African teams to develop basketball to meet the demands of the Basketball Africa League?
My advice to African teams would be to be patient. Everybody learns the game at a different rate, but at the end of the day, there's no secret in how to be successful in basketball. It all comes down to working hard, both physically, mentally, on and off the court, because you need a level of skill to be very good at basketball, but you also need a very sharp mental IQ to be very good at basketball. And when you combine those with a work ethic and a love for the game, that's when, you know, you start to excel. And the more people you have excel at basketball over in Africa, the better the game is going to be to watch, the better the game is going to be to play, and the more successful, and you can reap the benefits of that success. So just be patient and keep working at all aspects of the game, because there really is no secret, no magic potion. It just all comes down to the mental and the physical effort.
That's basketball coach Nicholas Seppi. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Gombe, Nigeria.
This is Nicholas Seppi, men's basketball coach at Niagara County Community College, University of New York, and player development specialist. You are listening to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you very much.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
The Union of European Football Associations, UEFA, disciplined a Czech player Wednesday for racist remarks against an opponent during a match. In response, Dutch football great Clarence Seedorf is speaking out against racism in the sport. Joining us now with more details is VOA's Gwen Uden. Hey there, Gwen.
Hey there, Sonny. Seedorf's comments came on Wednesday, the same day UEFA announced they had issued a 10-match ban against Slavia Prague defender Andre Kudela after he was found guilty of racially insulting a black opponent in the Europa League last month. During the match against Scottish champions Rangers, Kudela covered his mouth with both hands and whispered in the ear of his opponent, Glenn Kamara. Kamara later accused Kudela of making a racist comment, which another Rangers player claimed to have overheard. And despite denying the accusation that he used racist language, Kudela has been banned from 10 UEFA club competitions, including this summer's European Championship. Clarence Seedorf addressed the issue of racism in sport during an online European Council forum, where he told lawmakers that while it is common practice for players to cover their mouths when talking to their coaches or to each other, he believes the act should be banned between opponents.
From a player's perspective, I've seen some stuff, for example, the speaking with the covering the mouth during the matches. And there were some racist situations in the last weeks and months where players among themselves had hate speeches, and those things can be very easily attacked by implementing some rules there. For me, it should be abandoned to be able to speak like that when you're playing on the pitch, when you're approaching an adversary. We're talking about sport, it has to be transparent. So why would I cover my mouth if I need to say something to my adversary? If I talk with my coach, I talk with my teammates, all fine. But when I approach the referee, when I approach another player, another adversary in any sports, you're not allowed to cough your mouth. If you do that, that has to be a sanction. It has to be a yellow card, whatever it is, because we should avoid that kind of behavior.
Seedorf, who is black, is widely regarded as one of the best midfielders of his generation and remains the only player to have won the UEFA Champions League with three different clubs, Ajax, Real Madrid, and AC Milan. His last managerial appointment was as the head of the Cameroon national team. And since leaving the team 2 years ago, the former Dutch international has kept a watchful eye on how the sport handles allegations of racism and hate speech. And citing last year's killing of George Floyd in the United States, Seedorf suggests football and public authorities should allow fans to record incidents of racism and submit the footage as evidence.
And I was thinking also, you know, how can we, because we say it's a very small percentage that goes to the stadiums or events and that have this bad behavior, but where is the responsibility of the others? There is a responsibility of the other people that are there, but how can we create incentives for the fans that actually are behaving properly? If it wasn't for the people around George Floyd, today we would not be speaking and we would not have had the movement around all that happened, and we would not have that police officer now going to the trial. So if we can create from the club, from UEFA, from FIFA, for all the sports organizations and government incentives for who's capturing those moments and send it to the proper organization or institution or law enforcement to take action, needs to get something positive out of that. Social responsibility and social control, right? Because all of the things I cannot say, oh, it wasn't me, but I'm responsible. It's my house. I go to a match. I need to make sure that everybody around me is behaving as well, and you're responsible. So we need to make the fans responsible, capturing those things, and then act upon it.
Seedorf also criticized the lack of black coaches in European football and called for greater inclusion in institutions like UEFA and FIFA and more diversity overall within the sport. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And that wraps up the April 15th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.